السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's khutbah, and the topic is, indeed Allah loves those who make tawbah, those who repent. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah, who accepts the tawbah from His slaves and forgives them from His nobility and His grace. And I bear witness with every facet of my being that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the uniquely one, having no second in that oneness. And I bear witness that our leader and our Sayyid, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the perfect example of servanthood unto Allah and is His sent messenger unto the entirety of the created universe. Amma ba'd. To continue, I advise you, dutiful servants of Allah, and I advise myself, to adhere to that heartfelt consciousness of Allah, which in Arabic is called taqwa. For He, Subhan wa ta'ala, the most gloriously transcendent, states, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yut'i allaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan 'azima. O you who have believed, fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice, and He will then amend for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly attained a great achievement. Ayyuhal Muslimun, O believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the need to enter into a state of repentance when He says in His blessed book, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Indeed, Allah loves those who constantly repent and loves those who constantly purify themselves. The form tawwab, as opposed to just making tawbah, is the description of someone who is constantly revisiting the way of tawbah, constantly revisiting the way of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabic word tawbah implies a turning, a redirecting of oneself. The understanding being that it is part and parcel of our humanity that at different stages in our lives we will veer, we will lose our qibla, we will lose our tawajjuh, our facing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our intention to commit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part and parcel of humanity to make a mistake. Right? But the best of those who make a mistake are those who repent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He loves those who repent. He loves this ability when we make a mistake to realign ourselves, to say, Oh Allah, I seek Your forgiveness, and to have a tajdeed, a renewal in our azma, in our intention to realign ourselves with Allah. And that is why many of the salihin say that tawbah actually is the fuel by which we travel to Allah, because the more we make tawbah, the more we have sidq, and our irada gets stronger, and we become more desirous of a life filled with commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only thing separating you and me from such a life is sidq at-tawbah, the degree to which we can be true in our repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lest any of us think that what I've done is so huge. What I've done is such a big sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive me, then just reflect for a moment. Just reflect for a moment on the great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and amongst them there are so many hadith. For example, that hadith of the man who killed 99 people, and when he asked for a way of tawbah, he ended up killing one more until he was told that the way for you, there is nothing separating you and tawbah except that you travel, make your intention and travel to this place. And subhanallah, he died en route, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as from his rahmah, forgave him for the very intention that he wanted to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a man who had killed this many people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that intent to turn back to him with a love that is of immensity. And if we just want to reflect on the degree of that love, then let us think about this hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lallahu ashadu farahan bi tawbati 'abdihi hina yatub." He said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of more pleased or more intense in his joy with the repentance of a servant when he repents towards him than if one of you were to be riding a camel and have a camel in an arid desert, a desert in which there is no water, and that camel which is containing the provision of food and drink moves away from the rider when the rider is not aware, and the rider now is without the camel. So having lost all hope to find the camel, the person finally, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he lays down." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَأَتَى شَجَرَةً فَضَّجَعَ فِي ذِلِّهَا." He comes to a point when he finds a tree, and then he just lays down in that state, right? That state in the shade of the tree, and he lays down in that state, and he's thinking, what is he thinking? What would such a person think? The camel is carrying his provision. He's alone in this desert, a desert in which there is no water, no food. He's waiting death. He's in a state of despondency, in a state of fatigue, in the shade. And whilst he's in this condition, he suddenly sees, subhanallah, إِذَا هُوَ بِهَا, right? إِذَا هُوَ بِهَا قَائِمَةً عِنْدَهَا. That all of a sudden he looks up and there is the camel just next to him. فَأَخَذَ بِخِطَامِهَا. And so he grabs the camel by its nose string. Why does he do that? Because he doesn't want it to go away again, right? And now that he's finally got the camel, and on the camel is his food, and on the camel is his drink, and the camel is his means to finally get out of this desert. So basically, this has become, it's as if life has come back to him. ثُمَّ قَال. And he's so overjoyed because he thought he was going to die in the desert. ثُمَّ قَال مِن شِدَّةِ الْفَرْحِ. Then he said, from such an intense state of joy, "Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk." He said, "Oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Akhta'a min shiddatil farah." That he made this mistake from the state of extreme joy he was in. He didn't mean to say that. He wanted to say, "Oh Allah, you are my Rabb and I am your Abd." But he got it the other way around. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that with all of this rejoicing of this person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is ashaddu farahan bi tawbati abdihi hina yatub. That Allah is more rejoicing than such a person in the state of his, the shiddat al-farh, in the extreme happiness he feels. Allah is more rejoicing when a slave makes tawbah. So brothers and sisters, what's between us? What's stopping us making tawbah? Allah is telling us this is beloved to him. This is something he loves. And that state of turning back to him is beloved. And why should he not love this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ رَحْمَةً كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةً. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon himself, الرَّحْمَةً. right? أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That he's written upon himself rahma, wherein that any of you was to do a wrong out of jahala, out of ignorance, and then ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, and then you make repentance after that, وَأَصْلَحَ, and you rectify yourself. And then Allah says, فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. He's reminding us, He's the forgiving and merciful. This is the names and the attributes He wants to manifest when we make a mistake and we turn back to Him. He wants to be the one to forgive us and envelop us in that forgiveness. He wants to be the one to take us back in that compassionate mercy and that love. And the word rahma is connected to this kind of maternal love, this love of embodiment that is usually, you know, that's why the hadith say that the womb is named after Rahma, that womb which literally caters for the baby for 9 months and envelops it and looks after it. Because that is the nature of Rahma, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that my Rahma encompasses every single thing. And that is the nature of Allah's Rahma. And so that's why many of the Salihin actually compare this process of turning back to Allah as the process of, just think of how a child would be when it's felt that it's bereaved of its mother. And one of the Salihin saw this mandar, saw this event, and it just reminded him of how more worthy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in this regard. And the event was that he saw a young boy, a young thing, and he did something wrong, and the mother just said, sometimes mothers, you know, they have a tolerance level as well. So the mother said, just get out, and just put the baby out, or the young boy out. And the young boy, all of a sudden he's outside, and he takes a few steps away from the house, and he thinks, okay, maybe I'll go somewhere. But then, where else can he go? Where can he go? Which door is open for him? Who can give him the love other than his mother? So he comes back to the door of his mother, and he cries, and he says, where do I go? There is no one else. And when he does this, the mother's heart melts, so she takes him back in, and she admonishes him, she corrects him, but through this maternal love, don't do this again, and she caresses him, and she hugs him, and before you know it, there's that rebonding. And this Shaykh, or this Rajul al-Salih, one of this righteous men, was looking at this mandar, this event, and he said, subhanallah, if this is the love of a mother for her child, then shouldn't our turning back to Allah be awla? Shouldn't this be more deserved? That just as this child cries out, which other door do I have? Shouldn't we cry out, what other door do we have? What other doors do we have? Right? This is why the great story of Ka'b ibn Malik and the other two, the two who didn't, the three, including Sayyidina Ka'b, who radiallahu anhum jami'an, who didn't go on the Ghazwat al-Tabuk, who didn't go on the expedition to Tabuk, but they were given a imtihan when the Prophet ﷺ came back. They were shunned by the community. And then at that moment when they were shunned, then they felt there was no la malja'a min Allah illa ilayh. That which are the, where do they turn? There's no turning. The earth with its vastness, daqat alayhim, with the vastness of the earth, it became constricted, because anyone who doesn't have Allah in their hearts, their life is hayatun danqa. It's a life of constriction. Because ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Is it not through Allah that you reach the contentment you seek? Is it not through Allah that you finally get that state of rest that you're seeking? And so they realized, there is no malja, there is no refuge from Allah. There is no fleeing from Allah. There is no makhraj illa ilayh, except that you turn back to Him. And that is the state of the mu'min, that every time he makes a sin, or if he makes a mistake, and that's part of the ru'unat al-bashariyah, that's part of the everyday reality of our humanity, we will make mistakes, but lakin saddidu wa qaribu, keep trying to be as good as you can, keep trying to be as perfect as you can in following the prophetic example, but in your making mistakes is a secret, and the secret is that each time you make a mistake, you renew your tawbah, and you make your tawbah more firm, and you make your azm, your intention, and la ta'ud, that you never go back to this sin, firmer, and with that, your path, your spiritual path becomes an increase. You will find a greater qurb to Allah. Rubbama ma'asiyatin, maybe a sin, right? That led to a dhul wal inkisar, that led to a state of being brokenhearted and a state of humiliation. Khayrun laka is better for you than a so-called ta'ah, than a so-called worship that led to izwal istikbar, that led to a state of arrogance and thinking you're better than other people. The real issue is determined by your heart, brothers and sisters. It's not determined by an outward frame, and it's determined by the heart only insofar as there is in it iqrar al-rububiyya bitahqiq al-ubudiyya, recognizing Allah's lordship through realizing our slavehood. And ubudiyya is that which is humble. Ubudiyya is that which is willing to submit. And subhanallah, sometimes we need to see how far the mistakes we've done to say, oh Allah, ana da'if wa antal qawi. Ya Allah, I am weak, you are strong. Ya Allah, I am the one who is humiliated and you are the one who is glorious. Ya Allah, ana faqir wa antal ghani. I am the one who is poor and needy and you are the one who is free of need. Realize your awsaf, realize your attributes through realizing his attributes through them. Through opposites things are known. And so this is why there is a secret in sinning, because if there wasn't sinning, sometimes we wouldn't realize. We might actually think we owe Allah something. We might actually, or that Allah owes us something, that we're doing something great. No, brothers and sisters, it's through his rahmah and through his fadl that we go draw nearer to him. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ reminds us at different times of khawf, and different times he reminds us of raja, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should always realize that at the end of the affair, our raja, our hope in Allah should always be greater. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came across a mother hugging a baby and attaching the baby to her. And he said to the companions, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you think this lady could throw her son into the fire? They said, no. How could, why would any mother, no mother could do that? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. That Allah is more compassionate to his slaves than this lady is to her son. So we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah on that last day. But in the meantime, we live our lives. We live our lives intending to do the best we can in this life. To do the best we can in this life. And in this state, we should also mirror what is required. If we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have rahmah upon us, then we should be people who are rahimun, yarhamuhum rahman. That we are people who are also people of rahmah to those alongside us, so that Allah's rahmah can come to us. Irhamu man fil ard. Show your rahmah to those who's in the earth, and then the one who's in the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah that encompasses everything, will come to you, will show rahmah unto you. And that's why the qudwa of the anbiya is that they would be quick to forgive, and they would not remind people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always ya'fu wa yasfah. He would forgive and he would forget, as if it never ever happened. And that's why we find these stories. Look at the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alaihi salam, when after everything the brothers did to him, a life which was outwardly very hard. He was imprisoned for several years, and he was sold into slavery. But then when the final truth comes out, what does he say? لا تثريب عليكم اليوم اغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. No blame will there be upon you today. Allah will forgive you, and he is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Brothers and sisters, if we want Allah to forgive us, we need to be embodying of forgiveness of other people. If we're holding grudges and we refuse to let people go, and we want for the minor things in our hearts, then why isn't it selfish to expect ourselves to be forgiven? Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Arhamar Rahimeen. But we have to mirror that Rahmah the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mirrored that Rahmah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, he said, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi. He said, the one who truly repents from sin, kaman la dhamba lahu. As if that person has no sin. And so brothers and sisters, when we make mistakes, and which one of us don't make mistakes, when we've done mistakes, we should never lose hope. لا تيأسوا من روح الله. Never ever lose hope in the روح and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive everything. And from this, let's remember some of the stories of the righteous, and I'll come to an end here, but we should remember the nature of this ummah, that people have come before who, subhanAllah, in a moment they turn their lives around. And I encourage all of the listeners to follow up on this beautiful story, the story of the life of Fudayl ibn Iyad. And he was, previously he was a highway robber. He was, he used to do one of the worst things, literally rob people on the path, on these roads and paths that they would take. And he was a brigand in this way. And it was a life of disobedience, and it's a life of transgressing against other people's rights. And more to the point, he transgressed against his own soul. But all it took was a moment of sincerity. SubhanAllah, the narrations say that he was in the midst of doing something, and then he heard someone reciting the Quran, and it was the verse, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Said, has not the time come for those who believed that their hearts, أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that their hearts become submissive to the dhikr of Allah. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and what has come down of the truth. And he said, Bala, it's time. It's time. And that time is now. And he went from being a highway robber to being this great arif and this great wali and this great person of ibadah. And he said he would go from place to place and he would say, I'm Fudayl ibn Iyad, and if I've taken any of your rights, let me give it back. And he went from that to such a point that one of the ulama, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, says that there was no one greater on the face of the earth at this time than Fudayl ibn Iyad. And this is the power of transformation of just sidq. And so I leave this khutbah with just this verse. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Is it not time for those who believe that their hearts submit for Allah? Is it not time for you? Is it not time for me? Is it not time? The greatest of moments in our lives, the greatest moment you will have in your life, will not be some outward moment, will not even be a spiritual occasion if you were not present. It will be the time you find your tawbah. And with this, we come to an end of this khutbah. May he assist us all in the way of piety and obedience, piety towards his messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may he bless us with the ability to be dutiful towards those he has commanded us to be dutiful towards. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so seek His forgiveness, for He is the All-Forgiving and the All-Merciful. And with this comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.